When creating an exit strategy, business owners can't just account for the health of their books. They also must consider the health of their brand. Financials say a lot about an organization, but public awareness can mean the difference for a company that sells and a company that sits. I've known the talented PR team at HKA for many years, and I've seen firsthand how marketplace visibility equals marketplace value. If your brand needs a boost, contact the marketing communications experts at HKA by calling 714-426-0444 or visit them online at www.hkamarcom.com. Hi, this is Bill Black from the Exit Coach Radio Show. Last year, a business owner friend of mine died suddenly and tragically, and his family was unprepared. In his honor, I'm giving away 1,000 of my ebooks entitled Business Continuity, 5 Steps to Protect Your Family, free. All you have to do is text the word FAMILY to 44222. That's FAMILY to 44222. Don't let your family be the victim of an unplanned business. Text FAMILY to 44222 for this free information today.
Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for listening today. We have a great guest lineup, and we're going to get right to it. But I do want to remind you that we've interviewed over 500 advisors, authors, and thought leaders on over 35 different topics. And you can find and listen to any of them at any time on ExitCoachRadio.com. Just go to our audio library, look for the file folders that have all the different topics listed on them, and you can start listening and hear a lot of great information. Our first guest today is Jody Holland. And Jody's joining us from iWorkZone. He's the CEO, and that's down in Amarillo, Texas. And we're going to talk about your best assets. You know, they say your best assets go home every night. Those are your employees, and especially your key employees. And Jody's going to talk to us about how to identify, develop, and retain superstars and what makes a person a performer or a dud. So, Jody, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks, Bill.
Great to have you on the show, Jody. Thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit, before we get into the superstar discussion, tell us a little bit about you and your background and iWorkZone.
Sounds good. Yeah, I've been in business since 1999, but I started with kind of a fascination of why people do the things that they do, particularly from a generational perspective. So kind of understanding why when boomers are hiring Xers and millennials, they're not performing at the same level that the boomers had always expected other boomers to perform. So we developed some psychological tests to help us understand why people do what they do and help us predict who the good ones are and which ones to avoid.
Well, that sounds fascinating. And I've heard of different types of programs out there that will identify what a person will and won't do. What makes your program stand out? What makes it different?
One of the approaches that we took is we studied what eHarmony was doing in relationships. With the success that they've had, it's obviously worked very well. So we took kind of a Monster.com meets eHarmony approach and created a process where we could actually create a psych profile of what a top performer is in their behavioral and interest makeups. And then when you post a job, what's unique about our system is only people that see the job are the ones that would actually be top performers in the job. So you automatically weed out anyone who doesn't have the right profile because they have to match at 75% or greater to even see what you're posting. So as you think about, you know, replacing people who are retiring and trying to plan for your future, you want to make sure that you're getting people that are just like what a top performer is already like within your organization. So I think the approach that we're taking with kind of a double screening, screening for fit, and then also helping the organization screen for skill match, those two things working together really make a big difference in getting that right person on the first try.
That makes a lot of sense. And so what you're kind of saying is you're finding out who are the top performers now maybe in your organization. Let's create a profile of what they look like. So then when we're bringing somebody new in, we're looking for a match to those characteristics or those qualifications?
That's exactly right. And we actually have a lot of small businesses that will model a top performer in another company if they don't have exactly what they're looking for. But once you have that 20-minute profile done, then you can use that to replicate those behavior patterns within your own company. So, yeah, as soon as you find the good one, you want another one just like that. And for small businesses in particular, it makes a huge difference because you hire one wrong person. That costs you a whole lot more if you're a 5-employee company to have 20% of your staff bad versus a 1,000-employee company. And they get one wrong hire, they can get rid of them and try again. Still costs them a lot of money, but they can absorb it a lot easier.
Now, as your company grows and you do more and more profiles, it seems like you could also build profiles for different industries and different verticals as well that would make sense even if they hadn't profiled who's a star performer at their company.
That's exactly right. In fact, we did that for the auto industry, testing what a salesperson should be like. And we tested salespeople from 3 states, a couple hundred of them, and mapped them to their performance levels and created a specific profile for an auto salesman or salesperson who would be engaging, non-offensive, and would sell 15 cars a month or more.
And does it work on the other end of the spectrum? Do you also profile low performers and say, well, this is somebody you don't want to hire?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you've got a profile of both of those so that you can understand what to pursue as well as what to avoid. Healthcare in particular, they use the what to avoid in the nursing realm, using that profile in that direction. So it's nice to have both ends of the spectrum. And when you can see it on paper, it just makes it really easy to understand.
Well, that's fascinating, you know, and it really is interesting how right on the money those kinds of tests and profiles can turn out to be over the long term. You know, people can fake you out for a little while, but it is amazing to see with the history of how these things have developed over the years how accurate they can be. Isn't it true that some of these original tests were first developed by the military to make sure that they had top-notch people on special projects?
Absolutely, yeah. And the military really pioneered, especially the Air Force, a lot of the right psychological profiling so that they had people who could follow the right orders or people who could lead in the right way. You know, so you can go in any direction that you want to, but the military have an amazing amount of research on how to predict what a person is going to do. And they use that in boot camps and in things like that, which helps them understand how do you break a person down and then build them back into what you need them to be. So they have some of their behavior change methodologies are just awesome. So it's pretty cool. What they've done with it. And then you can apply that same principle within the corporate world to get those same predictable results.
That's fantastic. It's very valuable. And so let's talk about it. What actually makes a person a superstar at work?
Every person has a fit. The problem is 80% of college graduates go to work in a field unrelated to why they went to college. So they're automatically going to work in an area, most people are, where they don't have the right motivational interests. There's 2 key components that will create full engagement with an employee. The first is, do you have the right behavioral makeup, the right temperament to work in this environment? So you're kind of measuring the culture of an organization and finding someone who succeeds in that culture. That's the first match. The second match is, for the job itself, do you have the right passion? So if you're both passionate about the job itself and you fit within that cultural environment, those 2 components create the superstar. Harvard's research on this through Harvard Business indicates that using that methodology of using what's called psychometrics, psychology mapped to a specific set of behaviors, that creates more than 3 times the advantage in hiring of using a traditional process. So over 80% of the time, you'll get the right hire on the first try using this methodology versus under 20% in most cases for traditional interviewing and about 25% if they use behavioral interviewing in their hiring process without the testing. So the testing really hones in on it, but it's those 2 components, the right temperament or behavioral makeup and the right interest and motivational makeup. Those are the 2 things that make a superstar.
Now, of course, a lot of people, when they come to work in a big firm, they're not going to be put in the most exciting job description imaginable right out of school.
Right.
They're going to have to pay their dues, and a lot, I can picture a lot of accountants and attorneys and professionals that maybe go to a big firm, but they're not going to be, you know, in the courtroom. They're going to be in the file room for a long
right.
time. But if they have the passion and the temperament, and the employer can weed out people that may not have, you know, that may burn out, is that what they're looking for, is people that just won't stick with it?
Correct. Yeah, and it's different in different areas, but let's nursing, healthcare is one of our big clients. So in a doctor's office, a dentist's office, or in a hospital or long-term care, a nurse has a specific profile of what they're like if they're going to stay. Same thing is true of a CPA, same thing is true of a lawyer or anything else. So once you have that profile, even the grunt work that you're talking about that a person starts off with, they see the big picture of where it's going. That grunt work, for example, for a CPA starting off at one of the big eight firms, that's still very detail-driven, which is a part of their temperament, and it's very problem-solving oriented, which is CPA as well, which is a part of the work type motivation. So you're still hitting on the same things that a CPA would need to have. You just understand that even from the grunt work level, they'll see the long term if you've gotten the right fit.
Right, I get you. Okay. And I can think, you know, in a CPA firm, somebody starting out may not have to have the same people skills, for instance, as a nurse or a salesperson or someone else that deals with people all the time. And if they don't
exactly.
have those people skills, they're not going to be well suited for that, which begs the question, wouldn't this type of information be very useful at the high school counseling level, where they're trying to help people figure out what would, you know, is there a way to use these methodologies
oh, yeah.
to help people figure out what they'd be good at? I mean, I know they use something
yeah,
for that now, right?
They do. They do testing typically in 8th, 9th, and 10th grade. The problem is most high schoolers don't really figure out, hey, what am I going to be when I grow up, until they leave high school. It's junior and senior in high school where they need the help. So what we do is we actually provide a free career test to anyone that wants to take it. They just go to iWorkZone.com, click on sign up as a job seeker. They don't have to be looking for work. They can just put that they're not interested in work. But when they take our fit test, it will give them back a career report that maps out, here are the kinds of jobs that you'll be the most passionate about and the culture that you need to find in order to be successful. And it's their results that are then matched, if they're looking for more opportunities, it's matched to, you know, the hundreds of employers that have posted jobs in our system right now.
Oh, that's
but
great.
Yeah, you're dead on. They need it at high school. I know I was at the end of my sophomore year before I figured out what I wanted to major in, and I wish that I would have had this sooner, because it was a test similar to the one that we do that helped me figure out, okay, this is what you'll enjoy. Regardless of money, this is what you'll enjoy for the rest of your life.
Great, great stuff. So, yeah, and it makes a lot of sense that, of course, the employer wants to weed out their applicants that may not know what they want, but they think they want a job, because when you do put out a job offer these days, they get inundated with requests, and they need something to help weed people out right from the start.
Exactly.
So how do you replicate a successful person at work? Let's talk about that for a second.
There's about three steps that you follow. Step one is you've obviously got to make sure that you've trained up your existing people to do their job and set clear expectations, and then measure their performance. From a performance measurement standpoint, it's what are they accomplishing versus what you communicated that you desired for them to accomplish. And you look for the good attitude, you look for the integrity, you look for the work ethic, you look for those characteristics that are not listed on a resume or an application. Those characteristics then will show up in one of the assessments, the fit test. So when you test your existing people, you have basically a handbook on how to manage and coach them. But then when you're ready to post a job, all you have to do is use them or several of them that are really good in combination, and it'll create a profile within the job so that as you're posting it, anybody that is looking can see the job that if they match at 75% or greater. So number one, obviously, train and communicate clearly. Two is measure exactly what you're getting from people. And then three is always have a backup plan. So if you've got somebody that you think is fantastic, you think, oh, they'll never leave, you still want to have their profile, because at some point all of us either retire or move on or, you know, get burned out. So if you've got a profile of what the person looks like and they've been with you for multiple years and you like them, that's what you want to replicate. And that's,
okay,
to me, that's what changed the most. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Bill.
No. Go ahead and finish your thought. I have another question for you.
Okay. What I think has changed the most from the generations is when you look at the millennial generation in the workplace now, they're jumping around trying everything. Their interests are all over the place, which isn't always bad, but the simple truth is what boomers and business owners and managers are looking for is, I want to hire somebody that I know is going to show up, have a great attitude, work hard, and do what they're supposed to do. And having this psychological information gets you to that point.
And in a small business, let's say a business owner out there has several employees, and they say, well, that person, I'm not, you know, they're a superstar in what they do when they do it, but there's the unspoken rules about, you know, it's kind of like, if there was a priority project, did they stay beyond when the clock ran out for the day? Those, mm-hmm. there's things that you see in people that are like, I am dedicated to this business as my life. And you can't build that into everybody. So what if the employer is saying, well, if I survey my employees, I'm going to get what I have right now, but what I'm looking for is more. So at that point,
right.
Can you counsel them to say, well, then this is what you're looking for in a new hire. This is the additional
yes.
characteristics above and beyond.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. There's two options there. One is we have 24 different consultants in our company now that are spread out across the country that can assist in interpreting and go, okay, well, if you're looking for this and this is what you have, here's where the person is off on their profile. The other option is if you have another, you know, have a friend that's a business owner that has someone that's got all of those things that you're looking for, you can just have them take the test, and then you can replicate what they have without trying to steal them, but replicate what they have within your own company. So to show you where your own people are mismatching to what that other top performer looks like, and then as you post a job, you'll see more of what the superstar would actually be. But yeah, it's actually fairly easy for any of our consultants. You're all trained on how to interpret and adjust those to help people get exactly what they're looking for.
Okay, so if someone says, I know what I've got, I want more out of this, they can work with
right.
you guys or find somebody else that somebody says, wow, this person just is above and beyond in every way. So now
yep.
let me ask you, how does it work in a situation where you have a group of employees and the owner goes out and says, okay, let's survey everybody, and they come back with these things, and they say, okay, I see what their test results were, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt anyway. Do you have any stories about people that have said, yeah, I kind of get it, but I'm going to ignore the test, and what might have
oh, yeah.
happened down the road, like a success story where the results were just fantastic and they were right on, or where somebody said, I don't believe it, and they were sorry about it?
Yeah, I've got multiple examples. We have, when we first started out back in the late 90s, we kind of had to put ourselves out there to really prove we knew what we were doing with this. And so I had several organizations that I told them if they would just follow our system, that we would guarantee a 50% reduction in turnover in their first year. So long-term care, the average turnover in 2000 for a not-for-profit was 200% annual turnover for their CNAs. So a certified nurse's aide, they were hiring two for every one position they had on an annual basis. So what we did, one of the organizations in Wichita Falls, Texas, we were able to go in, create the profile of what the right CNAs, LVNs would be like, and then as we hired, we just continued to replicate what those people who would stick with it, you know, show up, work hard, stay late if necessary, good attitude, all those kinds of things. And at the end of the year, the difference for the organization by doing that system was a swing of $600,000 in net profit. Because what people don't realize is that you turn over one CNA, you lose $11,000 off of your net without changing your gross revenues at all. So every turnover of a minimum wage employee is about $8,000 off of your potential net profit. So it makes a huge difference. So we had over a $500,000 swing in their profitability. Jacksonville, Florida, wow. We had a couple of companies, one hospital we work with, that we made a $1.3 million swing in their profits in the first 8 months that we worked with them. And it was by working in their pharmacy and reducing turnover there, and then working in their nursing department, particularly in the ER, and reducing their turnover. But interestingly enough, like what you talked about the employees staying late, we took their expected daily performance from a measured 82% to 126%. So their employees were producing significantly more than their set standard for that hospital system. So it's pretty cool when you can do a whole lot more with a whole lot less and you're not replacing people. That's when your profits really roll in as an organization. And that's how we can measure our success easiest, is we work with companies to increase their profitability through their greatest asset, their people.
Well, Jody, I think you've got everybody's attention with that example. I think that's fantastic. How do our listeners get in touch with you at iWorkZone?
Easiest way is, you know, you can look at iWorkZone.com. Information is there. Or our office number is 806-355-5567. And give us a call, or just go to the website and get in touch with us either way.
And I think you said you had an offer for our listeners. It was a free account and a free job posting, or a free career test for anyone that wants to know what they were designed to be. So take advantage of that. Do they have to do anything special?
No, if they just go to iWorkZone.com, I've got it opened up right now where they can go click on the employer link on iWorkZone.com, set themselves up, and it'll automatically give them some credits to take the test. We have a chat window in the bottom right-hand corner, and we have, you know, our customer service folks will be there to help them set up, make sure they get what they want. If they'll mention to any of our service folks that they heard it on your show, then we'll give them extra credits on top of what we would normally give a person just to try things out, so they can try it a little more if they were listening on your show.
Well, I sure appreciate it. It's a very valuable and interesting information, and I wish you the best of success, and I hope that at some point in the future we can talk again about this and go a little bit deeper into the topic.
Sounds great. Thanks, sir. It's been great to be on the show.
Thanks, Jody. We're going to take a short break. We're going to be right back after this, so please stay with us. Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you, or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.